Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday, the 29th of April, 2026. The second to last day, InfoWars will be in operation. Tomorrow will be our last broadcast day. So I'm glad you're here with us today. We'll open up the phone lines for your calls and maybe your last chance to get in. Call into an InfoWars show. Of course, the show will continue. We will be live on Friday, just under a different banner. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. Of course, there's a couple hearings on Capitol Hill that we're going to want to check in on. Pete Hegseth, as well as EPA head Lee Zeldin, being grilled a little bit and with some pretty interesting responses from them. I also have a couple stories I wasn't able to get to yesterday that I'm going to make sure to get to today. That includes what I talked about a bit yesterday but never actually got around to, which is the failure of the left to even understand their own positions and come to terms with what they are supposed to believe. We'll get to that, and we'll get to the mystery of the ballroom, and we'll try to figure out what that's really all about. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 29th of April, 2026. Pentagon confirms U.S. has spent $25 billion on war with Iran so far. The operation, of course, aims to eliminate Iran's nuclear arsenal and missile capabilities. Pentagon Comptroller Jules W. Hurst confirmed the spending during a House committee hearing. That's got to be the best job ever. Pentagon Comptroller? That's an oxymoron, actually. It's actually an oxymoron. It's the only job where you can misplace literally $1 trillion. And you won't even be questioned about it. Meanwhile, in a huge win for Republicans, Supreme Court curbs the use of race in drawing voting districts. In a sweeping 6-3 decision issued today, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Louisiana's congressional map with a second majority black districts is an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. The ruling Louisiana versus Calais delivers a major victory for Republicans by sharply curtailing the Voting Rights Act's ability to compel the creation of predominantly black or Hispanic voting districts, a development that could lead the GOP to protect and expand its House majority in the 2026 midterms and beyond. We'll touch on that again a little later. It's very good news. Of course, be nice to have gotten this done a long time ago, but we'll get back into that. Trump rejects Iran's deal to open the Strait of Hormuz. President Donald Trump rejected Tehran's deal that would get the Strait of Hormuz open. Tanker ships are currently blocked from passing through the key energy choke point, causing immense strain on the global economy. On Sunday, Iran offered Washington a deal which would open the strait before negotiations over Iran's nuclear program take place. But of course, that is out of line with Israel's desire, so America will not be entertaining that discussion, of course. For America, we're concerned about gas prices. We're concerned about starvation that could very well occur with the lack of fertilizer around the world. We could get a lot of those things solved, but Israel's concerned about the nuclear weapons. So all of that has to go to the side while we focus on their priorities. Meanwhile, U.S. Supreme Court conservatives seem to favor ending TPS for Haitians and Syrians. 9 justices were hearing Trump administration that has the authority to strip immigrants temporary protected status. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on Wednesday over whether the Trump administration can strip those temporary protected statuses of hundreds of thousands of immigrant Haitians and Syrians under a program that has shielded them from deportation owing to safety concerns in their countries of origin. Yeah, we'll return to this as well. I think the fact that the protective status was supposed to end can be seen in the name of the protected status being temporary. But remember, the temporary protective status had an expiration point, had a date at which automatically the protection was rescinded, and some random judge came in and decided, actually, it's not going to end. I'm going to extend it unilaterally, even though I don't have the authority to do so. And now we're having to fight her, apparently, even though it was always supposed to be temporary and it was always supposed to be ended. Because everything is stupid. James Comey got arrested, but then he got let go.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you. Because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com, Ultra Methylene Red.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot of big news today. Big hearings with Pete Hegseth. Hearings with EPA head Lee Zeldin. I'm going to get to both of those videos here. But I think I'm going to start today. And we got a bunch of other stuff to get into. I mean, there are major developments in Ukraine, major developments in Iran, major developments domestically, major Supreme Court decisions being made. We're going to get to all of it today, so stay tuned. But I do want to start today with something that I was going to do yesterday, and that is just talk about the left a little bit and the fact, and this sort of pervades everything that we talk about continuously, and it's one of these things that's just inexplicable to me. It beggars explanation, and there really isn't one. And it's that the left intrinsically, instinctively understands how bad all of their ideas are, and yet they refuse to acknowledge and are constantly like suppressing their own natural instincts in order to comport themselves with the utterly insane ideology of their political side. And it really is like astonishing that this is the case. And I've got a lot of examples for it. I mean, we can start with clip 66 here. This is a, you know, Democratic politician woman, Nithya Ramans. She's being asked about homeless encampments where people, you know, do drugs in the open. And she is basically advocating for them to be able to do it more or less on the grounds of an elementary school. And this to me is sort of the perfect summation of the left as it exists right now. Let's go ahead and watch. It's a very short clip, but everything you need to know about the modern political world is contained within. Let's go to clip 66 now.
I mean, it's like, I don't think a kid's going to be safer because a tent is 500 feet away from a school. You know, it's
the constituents boo. And here comes the eye roll. Oh, dramatic eye roll. I mean, that was an eye roll for the ages. That was an emoji-level eye roll right there. That wasn't subtle. That wasn't unintended. That was, I want you to know how little I care about what you think. That was, I'm gonna show my disdain and hatred of you with every ounce of power I can muster. Is that not kind of perfect? You've got the constituents who, I guess, voted for her. Here she is telling them basically, what's the big deal with having homeless encampments shooting up drugs on your elementary school playground? And they boo her, and it's like, well, this is what you people believe. This is who you people elect. These are the policies you people shove down everyone's throats. What is the big deal with having homeless people shooting up drugs on an elementary school playground? What's the big deal? You want to explain that to us? Is that a bad thing? Is it also bad if they're doing it at a bus stop? Is it bad if they're doing it on my street? Is it bad if they're doing it outside of my place of business? Of course, it's all bad. But it's not bad until it affects them and them in particular and their children. And then suddenly it's an issue. But the people they elected basically say, so what? We're on the side of the homeless drug addicts. Don't you know that? Aren't you aware of that? And then when you express your dissatisfaction to them, is it greeted with empathy and concern, or do they roll their eyes and do the thing that hurts you anyway? This is you guys. This is the left. This is who you are, and it's who you've always been, and it's who you always will be. Let's go to clip number 9 now. This is Congressman Brandon Gill talking to an abortion activist And this clip's gone pretty viral for a good reason. And as much as abortion's not necessarily a major topic of conversation these days, it's nice to watch the pro-abortion people squirm when you actually detail what it is that they support. And just pay attention to the desperation with which this pro-abortion activist tries to avoid the explicit description of what she's calling for. Which, again, this just goes in line with everything. It's like, yeah, we support that. Absolutely. It's a women's right. In fact, we'll, like, burn down the country if you don't give it to us. Yeah, L.A. mayoral candidate's shocking take on homeless campments near school. You know, we'll go to Brandon Gill in a second. Since we're talking, I didn't realize this lady was running for mayor. I thought she was, because she's a hard left Democratic Socialist of America. I think she already has a position as like city council or something. That may not be right, but she's a candidate for mayor, which I guess, you know, while we're at it, let's go to clip 55 here. Just so, you know, a little compare and contrast. So you just saw the Democratic Socialists for mayor. She's advocating homeless people doing drugs in your elementary school. And if you disagree, she basically thinks you're stupid and is rolling her eyes at you. Here's the Republican candidate for mayor, clip 55. This is Spencer Pratt.
This is where Mayor Vass lives. You notice something? Or here, where Nithya Raman's $3 million mansion sits. They don't have to live in the mess they've created where you live. This is where I live. They let my home burn down. I know what the consequences of failed leadership are. That's why I'm running for mayor. For my sons and the rest of us Angelenos that want to stop these corrupt politicians from destroying our city. We are going to get the golden age of Los Angeles back.
This is what I don't understand. It's like, I am biased. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian. I bring these perspectives to everything I look at, but I can also overcome them. I can suppress them and look at things objectively. And looking at this objectively, who would make the decision for the woman who's talking about putting homeless people in your playground over the guy who's living in a trailer because his house burned down as a consequence of the utter incompetence of the current ruling slate of Democrats in California? Like, this is the confusing part. This is the confusing part. Is it's like every day I get to watch as Americans are offered the choice between a steaming pile of feces and a delicious sundae, and they go for the feces because somebody called the sundae a Nazi. Somebody told them at one point that the sundae was racist, so now they eagerly gorge themselves on the feces, and what it feels like to me when I see this. When you see the woman talking about putting homeless drug addicts in your elementary school versus the guy who just wants you to be left alone, and people choose the lady 99% of the time in LA. It's madness. It's pure madness. And I refuse to respect these people. Let's go to clip number 9 here. Congressman Brandon Gill asking an abortion activist about the details, the explicit nature of her chosen profession. And she's very uncomfortable. She doesn't want to talk about the details of what she's supporting. She just wants to support it and then be blind to the consequences of her decision. Let's watch.
You're an advocate for abortion, for abortion policy. What's your favorite type of abortion?
I am an advocate for patients having access to the full realm of reproductive health care.
But do you have a preferred method of abortion that you like?
I do not.
Let me read through a couple different methods, and I want to get your take on how much you like these. The first type is called a suction abortion. This is when the cervix is dilated and a strong suction, 29 times the power of a household vacuum cleaner, tears the baby's body apart and sucks it through the hose into a container. Do you prefer that method?
I stand by my former testimony.
That sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? Sounds pretty gruesome. Do you agree? It does to me.
I stand by how I answered your question fully and accurately.
Okay, what about this one? This one is called dilation and curettage. After dilation of the cervix, a sharp looped knife is inserted into the uterus. The baby's body is cut into pieces and extracted, often by suction. Do you prefer that method?
What I believe we are here to talk about today is the FACE Act. We are not here to talk about the legality.
I'm asking you, you're a pro-abortion advocate. I'm asking if you prefer the delation and curatage method.
I am an access to reproductive health care advocate.
You don't want to talk about abortion itself. Why is that?
I would prefer to talk about the reason that the committee called the hearing.
Is it because it's uncomfortable to talk about?
I would prefer
it should be uncomfortable.
I would prefer, if you would let me finish my statement, to talk about the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which is
what
I was asked
to
come
here to talk about.
We're talking
about what that access gets. How about this one? It's called dilation and evacuation. Forceps are inserted into the uterus, grabbing and twisting the baby's body to dismember him or her. If the head is too large, it must be crushed in order to remove it. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the reason the hearing was called and the basis of my expert testimony.
It's uncomfortable to hear this, isn't it? It is. I think it is, because it's barbaric and evil. How about this one? It's called the saline injection. It's when a 20% salt solution is injected through the mother's abdomen into the baby's amniotic fluid. The baby's skin is burned off. The baby ingests the solution and dies of salt poisoning, dehydration, and hemorrhaging of the brain. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the subject of the hearing.
This is the subject of the hearing. This is about protests outside of abortion clinics. I'm asking you about abortion.
I stand by my prior testimony.
Okay. I wouldn't want to talk about this either if I were you, because it is barbaric and evil.
I love it. GOP rising star demands abortion advocate name favorite method of hearing. In hearing clash, Waters declined to answer the Texas Republican, telling Gill she wanted to discuss the FACE Act instead of procedures. And in fact, what she said, she wanted to reclassify it, relabel it. She's like, I prefer the term reproductive health care. Like, yeah, but that's not really what he's describing, though, is it? That's not really reproductive health care, is it? I mean, that's a label you put on it to disguise what it really is, which is the butchering of babies, which makes you uncomfortable. Now, again, the reason I point this out is not even to illustrate the vicious, brutal murder that abortion really is, even though that's an important point that we should all remind ourselves of. It's more about the fact that if these people genuinely thought abortion was a great thing, what's the issue? Why wouldn't she say what her favorite is? I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it? And it seems like, and again, there's a lot of these things where, like, I feel like I could do it better than them. Like, it wouldn't even be that hard to just take a professional tone with it. And just go, you know, well, actually, I prefer this method. There can be some dangers here, but in case of an emergency, you're going to want to use this. Like, you could rattle stuff off and make it sound clinical and, you know, sort of overwhelm people with your expert position. It would be possible. You could do it. But she's not going to do that because either she doesn't have the expertise or just would rather not discuss it at all. But if it wasn't that bad of a thing, if it was a good thing, then why wouldn't she be able to discuss those aspects? Why wouldn't she say, actually, yes, vacuuming is my favorite. If the tube is clear, you get to see it all. It's crazy. I love watching it. Like, why wouldn't she say that? Why wouldn't she talk about how great abortion is and how convenient it is, how soft babies are when you want to cut them up? There's like nothing even in the way. You could use like scissors if you wanted. It'd be really easy. Like, why wouldn't she talk about that explicitly? Because she understands, because she recognizes in her heart of hearts how utterly horrible it truly is, and is desperate to disguise that, despite the fact that she is continuing to push that position. That's the disconnect that I don't understand and that makes me feel like they're less than human. I mean, when I say less than, that's what I mean. I mean, like, there's something crucial missing there. Human beings, if they support something and then they open up the hood and go, oh my God, it's a bunch of discombobulated babies in here, then they go, I don't support this anymore. That's crazy. But these people will be appalled and disgusted at what they support. And that's not human. That's not a human way to be. That's something else entirely. But should we look at more? Because this is a universal phenomenon. We'll get to some videos from the UK in just a second. But let's take a little trip. Visit Bill Maher and David Cross, who is a very funny, very ill-informed man. I like David Cross. I'd have to say that he's one of my favorite characters in my favorite show of all time, Arrested Development. So no shade on him. He just should humble himself. I think he should humble himself a little bit, but it's not even a criticism. No, it is a criticism. No, let me know. It definitely is a criticism of him. Because you'll see. I think you'll see. Let's watch clip number 5. I'll pull this out in a second. to get into rambling stuff. But again, once again, what you'll see is a guy who expresses very strong political convictions and yet has no idea what those convictions entail. Let's watch.
I mean, I'm politically more Democrat socialist, I believe.
You're socialist. Again, I think you're plainly then you're to the left of me if you even say you're a socialist.
Well, I said Democratic socialist.
I know, but that I know a Democratic socialist is that Mondami.
That's like a Nazi. I'm not a
Nazi. Communist.
No, he's not.
Okay,
no, he's not.
Okay, he has someone working.
Bill.
Let's pause it there. Why did he have that reaction? Why did David Cross just have that reaction to the idea that Mamdani's a communist? Because he is. He absolutely is. I mean, it's not even a question. But what's up with that reaction? This is what I'm talking about. This is when, in early on in COVID, we said there's going to be a vaccine mandate, and everybody went, what? Absolutely not. No, what? That's crazy. That's exactly what you just saw there. Mamdani's a communist. What? No way. Why would you say that? I would then want to ask him, well, why is that a bad thing? What's bad about communism? Can you elucidate that for us? Can you explain what it is about communism that causes this knee-jerk reaction in you? Because how can you call yourself a socialist and think communism is something that you have to reject outright? This is what I'm talking about. The man is voting for communists, but he thinks he's anti-communist. And he has this knee-jerk reaction to say, no, Mamdani's not a communist, but I would like to explain to him why he feels the need to make that distinction. What is wrong with communism? Do you even know? Have you even thought about it? I can tell you why I don't like communism. Why don't you like communism? What would actually happen is if you explained the tenets of communism to him, he would say, yeah, that's absolutely what I'm in favor of. But he hasn't made that connection yet that's communism, his belief system. He still thinks he's anti-communist. Let's go back to the video.
First of all,
okay.
He has someone working for him named Sia Weaver.
Okay.
Have you read about her?
I have not.
See, that means you're in a bubble.
Okay.
Because you should have.
Okay.
Okay,
so
let me tell you who she is. She's like one of his top lieutenants. She's had his big issue was the rent's too high.
Mm-hmm.
She's the head of, like, we're going to fix housing.
Mm-hmm.
This is like what got him elected. He has not disavowed her, and I could show you all her tweets that she's put out over the last few years and quotes. And one of them is, elect more communists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to read between the lines if somebody he stands with and by is saying that. And also, her other quotes are like, all home ownership is racist.
Well, that's
even
ridiculous.
Though, exactly.
Well, that's ridiculous. Oh, is it, David Cross? Why is that ridiculous? What are you, a racist? You're one of the racists, I would guess. No, we can take it down because they start cursing after this. But that's the reaction, right? It's like, he's not a communist. Okay, well, his like number one top lieutenant is an avowed communist. And he's just like, It's like, yeah, dude, isn't that kind of a bad thing? It's like they say all housing is racist. And he's like, well, that's just insane. Okay, but you opened this conversation saying you were a Mamdani supporter, and that's like a key component of Mamdani's entire platform. So what are we supposed to do with these people? Like, these people, they vote. Oh, yeah, by the way, Mamdani just is asking for a handout because he's been mayor for 2 months now, and the city is absolutely bankrupt, and he's desperate for money. So that's funny. Let's go to clip 20 here, because this is, again, it's a worldwide phenomenon. Yeah, she's the worst. But David Cross would vote for her and then be shocked at the policies that she supports. And then call you uninformed and low information because you support the Conservatives. Let's go to clip 20 here. This is in the UK. It's Green Party candidate Fahima Mohamed being asked about her party's policies on open borders. Once again, same exact situation. She's shocked and appalled that anybody would suggest she supported the thing that is the literal first sentence of her party's manifesto. Let's watch.
But Fahima, excuse me, because what I feel is going on here is that Orla and James are being honest about what the policy position is. And I don't think you are being honest about the Green Party policy, because the Green Party migration policy, I've actually got it in front of me here. So let's just go through it, because you said to me that you don't want open borders. This is the start of the Green Party migration policy. I'm not making this up. The Green Party wants to see a world without borders.
Do you not understand?
Without borders.
Do you
not
understand?
That's your policy.
Do you not understand that they are going to do it like how it is for Ukraine, for example, coming in, and they're still going to be vetted. There's still going to be a process. No one's just going to come in like that. There's no country in the world that allows
it. You can't do it if you don't know
who they are. Do you understand?
Okay. Well, let's just...
That's how it is. So if they come in through an actual legal route and open it up for them...
We can take this one down too. But it's the same thing everywhere. It's your policy here says we want no borders. And they're just like, that's crazy. You don't understand. You're not sophisticated enough to understand that when we say no borders, what we mean are super strong borders or something. It's just like, no, you're just liars. And your ideas are bad. And when you're presented with these ideas, they're obviously bad. Oh, what did they update it? They updated. They were embarrassed. They were embarrassed that they got caught with their actual ideas. They're like, damn it. We thought we'd hidden all of our actual ideas. We thought we'd hidden all of our actual concerns and ideology deep, deep under many layers of forward-facing propagandistic deception. Darn it. They found out that we actually hate everybody and want to destroy their country. Shoot. How are we going to get them to vote for us now? Let's go to clip 22 here. This is, again, Green Party in the UK. Same type of guy. We'll let this play for a little bit. This whole video is like 4 minutes long. The whole thing is him just denouncing his own party's policies and trying to explain how they're not what they obviously are. Let's watch.
Is it Green Party policy to say that on motorways, you're going to change the speed limit from 70 miles an hour to 55 miles an hour to improve the environment and getting us to drive more slowly?
That's not been in a manifesto. And in 10 days' time, we've got local elections, and unsurprisingly, speed limits are not on the ballot.
So it's not your policy to cut speed limits, and never was?
Well, there's a difference, as I'm saying, between what the members vote on and then also what we have in a local election. And speed limits are not in a local election.
So the party officials or the members may have said it was 55 miles an hour, but you, the leader, are saying no, that's not the policy because you're deciding that.
Well, the important point is that what the members have decided already in the document says this will
be reviewed and updated. Look, I'm telling you, we can take it down. This is what the left is like. This is what it's like trying to argue with them. This is what it's like trying to get a handle on what they even believe. It's all weasel words. It's all wriggling out of it. It's all, well, what you see is not really what you see. And what I said was, I meant something exactly the opposite. And it's just like, people vote for this. People actually vote for this. Don't worry, guys. The left in America, they're coming together. They're getting together. They're going to terrify all of us. Let's go to clip 33 here. This is a meeting of a liberal group. And you can see they really mean business. Okay, let's watch. I'm not kidding. This is literally a left-wing Democrat group called, like, Sing Against Resistance or something like that. This is what the Democrats are doing. Who is voting for any of this? They're not cool. They're not smart. What the...
The great folks at Bigley, our main sponsor, they fund, like, 90% of the operation. They give away an amazing American-made vehicle, super truck, you name it, every month. And there's a crossover period at the end of each month where you have the old offer and the new offer for 1 week together, where when you buy any product at theAlexandersWar.com, you get put in to win both. And in that last week, it's always, it was 50X entries, 100 times. And most people that win do it during this period. I think basically everybody. And so you get the Ford Raptor Custom H1 Hummer. These are incredible. Plus $20,000 cash. You can win one or both for each dollar spent, 100K entries in the sweepstakes. Also, flash offer today. These sales are totally insane. We're giving you $10 free just to check out. Automatically $10 comes off on anything at thealexjonesstore.com. could be bovine colostrum, could be Shilajit, could be methylene blue, methylene red, could be anything. And that offer ends, that runs till Monday. That flash sale runs for 3 days. And then we have the five new modern but updated World War II trench daggers with the skull crushers all murdered out. Brass knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, razor-sharp, stainless steel. And they made five designs. I only designed one with the Christ is King on one side and the Jerusalem cross on the other. I thought that was not... I said yesterday, I said, I don't think this is the best design. This is my design. These others are so amazing. Well, turns out that most of the sales were that, and it's going to sell out today. So my design's most popular. See, it's just, people ask what my marketing plan is. Whatever I think's cool, it's just weird. I didn't even say this is the cool one. Get it. The audience is just like me. Oh, we want that. It's like, that's what I like is what I promote, and you seem to like it too. So that's just how it works. So we just launched five new trench war daggers. I thought they would probably sell out in a few days. They are. They'll be sold out by Monday. You are the InfoWar. Molon Labe, Liberty or Death, Don't Tread on Me, and Christ is King with the Jerusalem cross. But I think that that'll be gone. But these are limited edition. Well, they told me they had 1,000 of each knife. They have like 700 of each knife. So they will only produce 300 more of each because it is limited edition. So it'll be sold out by Monday. The other 300 will come in of each, and then that's it. And then we'll have new designs. But these are all limited edition as well, laser etched. So you talk about bad. I personally like the Spartan one. With the Spartan phalanx and the Molon Labe, personally, I think that's the coolest art there. But again, my design, Jesus is King, is the best seller. Also, we have other sales going on. April 30th is your last chance to get original InfoWars t-shirts, products with the original logo, all that. That's a limited edition there. By a miracle, we might beat him and take it back, you know, in the near future, but this is probably your last chance. And it's all a fundraiser, so thank you so much for your support. But I'm telling you, what you really want to get... the methylene blue and the Irish sea moss and the Shilajit and all that. I mean, it'll just change your life. The iodine's incredible. I mean, folks, we only sell stuff that works. Why would I sell something that doesn't work? Well, the left always, he sells boner pills. What are you even talking about? I mean, yes, technically, if you take our ultimate life force, it's very similar to our nitric boost, but it has even more stuff in it. It's a spike protein detoxer. And yes, for men, it has the effect of some interesting things that, you know, when you wake up in the morning. But that's not the main function. It's for your cardiovascular system. But obviously, if the Johnson's doing good, that shows you the rest of you's doing good. The point is that everybody should take at least two rounds of this a year just for spike protein detox. But what it does for your cardiovascular system is insane. And this is not a bestseller. I'm just up here saying, this is what you want. Heard callers calling about it. So I'm like, wow, whoa, ooh.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Pull it up again. Pull up the video again. I'm not kidding. I'll have to go to... I didn't believe it. I thought, okay, somebody found a video of some sort of, like, I don't know, after-school program for at-risk LGBT youth, you know, something. And I just thought, you know, okay, somebody's posting this, you know, cringy, bizarre video, and they're saying, oh, look what the Democrats are doing. And it's like, all right, that's funny, but... you know, I don't want to be spreading falsehoods. So I went to Grok, and no, sure enough, this is a left-wing Democrat group, and they're convinced that doing this is going to get them a lot of votes, I guess. So that's what we're up against. That's who we're up against. And it's just, you know, I just feel like that video needs to go under, like, every Democrat politician talking. Just be like, you know, this is who you are, right? Just posting that and just going, eh, it's a good point about healthcare, whatever. But, like, you get that, like, this is who you are. You want to address that for us? You want to explain that for us? Because I feel like that's something they need to explain, how they became that way and what is wrong with them and what help do they need. I'm willing to help them. I just need to know what to do here. Yeah, I think it's called Singing for the Resistance, I think is what it's called, something like that. I think that's all I'll say about that. But, you know, I got more. But I got more. But I have more videos like this. We can go ahead and go to clip 41 here. You remember, if you can cast your mind back this far, it was, I remember it was January 1st because Zoran Mamdani was sworn in as the mayor of New York in a disused subway station at midnight on the 1st of January, which is just weird. It just gives me a combination vibes of like a Spider-Man supervillain mixed with like some Eyes Wide Shut crap. It's sort of perfect for who we're talking about here. But it was, let's see, it's the 29th of April today, so we're day or two away from 5 months in power for Zoran Mamdani. Let's check in. How's it going, buddy? How you doing with all your big promises about robbing white people to pay the non-white people to stay home and take care of immigrants? Let's watch.
New York City faces a budget crisis of a historic magnitude. We inherited a deficit larger than any since the Great Recession. Years of mismanagement and chronic underbudgeting, alongside a structural imbalance between what New York City sends to the state and what we receive in return, have taken a toll. We cannot close this deficit with savings alone. We need new revenue, and we need a structural reset in our relationship with the state. That is the only way to meet our legal obligation to pass a balanced budget.
I've got some other ideas.
And to do so without imposing
I've got some other ways.
Burden.
Hold on there, buddy. I think you're forgetting a couple options here. He's like, the only way to solve this budget crisis is to take more of your money. Like, really? You can't cut some of the incredible waste? You remember, one of the things they suggested, and this, he got elected on this. This wasn't even a policy after he got elected. He ran on the promise that he would create a new department of the government that would be there to provide assistance to people who are trying to deal with the bureaucracy of another part of government. The small business regulations in New York are so onerous, are so, overwhelming and suffocating to small businesses. They created a new department of government to help people who have small businesses deal with the regulations that government is imposing. Call me crazy. I know I'm an outside the box thinker here. But if the problem is the regulations from this part of government, the solution should not be to create another part of government to deal with that part of the government. You should reform that part of the government. You should make it easier to start a small business. You should remove some of the regulation. But that's obviously never going to happen. So this is just where we're at. This is just the feedback loop that we're stuck in. And it really is that blatant and that simple. They cause problems by bloating the government and spending a bunch of money on stuff that just makes everything worse. And then to deal with the consequences of everything getting worse, they just pour more money into new programs that just make everything worse. So it's time to wake up, everyone. It's time to wake up, snap out of it, and realize that this will always be the case when you're voting for the left, every single time. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. And it's not even the worst that they're going to do if they ever get back into national power ever again. And we can go to clip 27 here. This is J.B. Pritzker. Again, this is just what I really don't get, because if there would be one thing that the left and the right could come together on, you would think it would be something like tyranny and oppression. Right-wingers have a traditional understanding of tyranny and oppression. We understand the story of the revolution and the founding fathers and the ideological underpinnings of liberty and what that requires. And the left is constantly blabbering on about oppressors and oppression and, you know, government power being wielded by the rich and powerful against the weak and whatever they say, whatever those words are they use. Underserved or whatever crap they come up with to blame their failures on white people. But they don't actually care about oppression. They genuinely don't actually care about tyranny. And this is, again, sort of the shocking thing. It's one thing if you can fall for the lies. It's one thing if You hear Zoran Mamdani tell you that everybody's going to get free ice cream and you're an idiot. You think that that's possible, so you vote for him, and now you're shocked that you're getting shoved onto the subway tracks. I can understand being tricked by lies and by promises that are impossible to fulfill. But they're also voting for people that are just promising evil straight up. So here's J.B. Pritzker just promising to be ridiculous tyrants and to use his power, or any power that the Democrats can get, illegitimately to crush their political opposition. Just the cut and dry definition of tyranny. Let's watch.
As you know, I created the Illinois Accountability Commission to make sure that we were capturing evidence that can be used against the people who are breaking the law. You know, we had 16 very deep investigations that were undertaken here. There were literally 250 videos used as evidence, 100 hours of ICE and CBP video that was obtained and used in these hearings. And we had 60 eyewitnesses, some very, very powerful testimony that was given, all of which is with the purpose of keeping the record so that, number one, we could take them to court now, as we have, to limit their ability to attack our cities and our people, U.S. citizens, legal residents, even undocumented people who've never broken the law, by the way, and to hold them accountable later when there might be a new administration or a new Congress that can, in fact, hold them accountable. We want them to know now that their actions now will be kept as evidence, and that one day, even if it's not today or this week or this year, they will be held responsible for their actions.
Okay, so there's Governor J.B. Pritzker promising to throw ICE officers in prison for following their orders and actually employing the laws of the United States and holding people to them. So this is kind of the thing with Democrats. Like, they might have a policy that they support. Good luck pinning them down on it. Good luck actually getting them to understand or express what it is they actually believe. They don't actually know. If you try to get into the details of what they believe, they get freaked out and start calling you, hater, and, you know, claiming that you're trying to portray things the wrong way. It's like, well, we're just trying to figure out what the actual details are. Sometimes they're obfuscating what they really intend. In the case of like Alison Spanberger and those people, other times with the likes of J.B. Pritzker, they just come out and say it. We're going to use our power, you know, as the government to go after law-abiding citizens because it's politically convenient to do so. And Democrats go along with that. They vote for it. They're in favor of it. So I guess the point of all of this, just once again, to lay out the facts, these people have no beliefs. They have no true understanding. And yet they get voted for all of the time anyway. And I'm just trying to express my bafflement and my confusion at all of this because, and I guess, it, you know, it's like that meme that was going around a little while ago where it's like asking women, would you rather be stuck in the woods with a man or a bear? And women chose bear. And it's like, all right, well, that's just sort of virtue signaling. It's like trying to prove that they're the most retarded to get sort of like social points, because that's how leftism works. Like, who can you know, genuinely and like you know, with authenticity express the dumbest, most unnatural and self-evidently retarded ideas you can imagine? Like, who can do it in a way that sounds like they know what they're talking about? That's sort of the entire like leftist game that they play all the time. And so that's part of it, is like, you ask a really obvious question. Who would you rather, you know, basically what they're asking is, would you rather live or die? And the women are like, I'd rather die. Thank you very much. I'd rather be eaten by a bear because I'm thoroughly propagandized into thinking men are dangerous. I will die alone and I'm the smart one. That's sort of just how they are. But then you see the way they vote and it's like, I think if you actually made them choose, women would actually choose the bear. Like a lot of the lefty women, I think they'd go, I think they're serious. I don't think they're even joking. I think they are that propagandized, because that's essentially what's happening here. Essentially what you have is, all over the country, there are these two sides. And one side is just full of liars, full of just psychopaths and scam artists and just horrible, disgusting, offensive people. And the other half is just like normal human beings that just understand the way things work. And so time and time again, Like, here we are. Who would you, you know, playing the dating game? And it's like, behind one curtain is a tiny little gremlin that wants to steal your stuff. And behind the other curtain is Prince Charming himself. And every single time, the Democrats are like, that gremlin makes some really good points. It's just like, it's just like, I'm going to steal all your stuff. I'm going to put homeless people with drugs in your elementary school. And they're just like, he seems empathetic, you know? So whatever, these people suck and we have to share a country with them. I wish we could wake them up, slap them in the face metaphorically and theoretically and whatever, but also for real. Let's go to clip 43 here, because this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Somebody explain this to me. Somebody out there explain to me how these types of ideas, everything that we've seen so far from the Democrats, abortion and the welfare state and all of this stuff, like even if you logically can't figure out that taking things from successful people and giving it to a class of criminal foreigners is not a good idea. Okay, maybe you don't have the logic to carry that out, to carry that thought process to fruition. How about they just tell you what they're doing and it's so horrifying? I don't know. I can't even express it. I don't even know what to say about this anymore. Let's go to clip 43 here. This is in Canada. And this is what they actually believe, and this is what your you know, leftist sister-in-law approves of. I don't know. I can't explain it. Let's watch.
And I'll be damned if I'm going to stand here and listen to someone say that the parents deserve rights over a child. No, they don't. They absolutely don't. I have three children. My main goal in life is to protect them. I will die for my children. You would have to kill me to take my children from me. I will do everything in my power to make sure they're good citizens, that they're inclusive, that they're accepting of people, that they turn out to be good people. They can be whatever the heck they want in life. But I'm tired of this argument because I've heard it throughout my life. What about the parents' rights? It's almost like the foster kids and the kids in care did something wrong, and that we have to allow our biological, and they're not parents, biological, in my, and this is my own, I'm not speaking for every foster child, I'm speaking for myself. But my parents were a sperm donor and an egg donor. That's it. They gave me some genes and walked the heck away. So when we were taken away, they didn't just leave, they left the country. They went back to Ireland. You come to Canada with five children and you leave and you go back with none. And nobody said anything to them. I found out I have a ton of uncles and aunts and family, huge family. No one said a word. No one reached out and was like, okay, let's find those children. So why would they have a right, more rights than I do? They don't. And if any member wants to stand in their place and act like they've been through the system and they know what it's like, go for it. I'm not going to stand here and pretend like I know what it is. Anybody on any side of this legislature, I'm not going to pretend I have any experiences in their lived experience. But when I hear people talk about what the system does and what the system does, the system isn't perfect. Absolutely not.
Parents absolutely don't deserve to have rights over their children. That was the Nova Scotia Education Minister, Brandon McGuire. If parents don't have rights over their children, we do. The government does. We will dictate what is good for your children. Not you. Not so. And again, the craziest thing, then he immediately says, I would die for my children. And it's like, yeah, that's why you are the one in charge of them. You know who wouldn't die for your children? Some freaking social worker that's making $18 an hour and doesn't give a damn and is just trying to skim some off the top whenever they can. But that's who they want in charge of your children. And again, we've seen this. A trans couple just got caught kidnapping a kid and going to Cuba to try to get it castrated. Crazy. Colorado House just passed a bill that will take your kids away from you if they're groomed into LGBTQ trans madness and you don't go along with it. The government will take your children away. This is what I mean. It's like, okay, I get if you're like falling for some lie. Okay, people fall for lies all the time. But that's not a lie. You're just being told. Like, they're like, vote for me and we'll take your kids away. Vote for me if you don't believe that you as a parent have the right and, you know, responsibility of your children. And people vote for that. It's crazy, but it's true. And then you go to clip 69 here. This is a professor at the prestigious Oxford University. And this is a real video. This is a real video of a real lecturer and tutor at the University of Oxford named Matt Ratley. And he is wearing gigantic fake breasts with his spindly unhealthy beard and bright red lipstick as he's talking about, get this, imposter syndrome. Okay. So, you know, we can bring up the audio if we want, but I think you get an idea of what we're looking at here. I think all you need to do is look at it.
Declaring myself an expert in something is a little bit uncomfortable, and I don't quite know on what basis I would feel comfortable doing that. And lots of people, you know, seem to be quite happy with this.
What do you not feel comfortable doing exactly? I'm sorry. He's talking about expert. He's talking about being an expert in something. Now, again, you know, the obvious thing to say is that if you saw a female professor wearing a dress like this, it would be inappropriate, right? You'd be like, what the hell is this woman got her big ugly tits out in my face for? Put them away, lady. For some reason, when it's a man with a beard and a bald head and lipstick and big fake tits, we're supposed to pretend like this is normal. And of course, that he probably has the best interest for our children at heart. And if a man like that, like, bring him up again. I just want people to keep looking at him while I'm talking about him. Bring up the man, Matt Ratley. So let's say this guy is your, 7-year-old substitute teacher, and is secretly keeping your kid behind, taking him into the special reading closet to put girls' clothes on him and tell him how cool and exciting it is. And then your kid comes home and says that his bearded, big-titted trans substitute teacher has told him that he's actually a woman. Now, if you disagree with that, the Colorado government will come take your child away. Maybe give it to him. We need to learn to say no to cross-dressing men, especially the one to sell. I'll bring that back up. Especially with a giant rubber rack. We need to learn to say no to cross-dressing men. That's a start. That's a start. That's certainly a start. And it's just, you know, it's that type of stuff. And this is what I mean. I know. And, you know, Nick was talking about it on with Alex today. And you know, I saw Nick's tweet this morning where he just said, I'm sick of talking about politics. This is kind of what I'm talking about. Why do I have to talk about this? Why is this man, why does he exist? What is wrong with our society? Do we need to debate this stuff? Do we need to argue this stuff? It's hard not to be like, I don't know, offensive or in favor of authoritarian or any of this stuff, because it's just none of this stuff is a question. None of this stuff is actually debatable. There are certain things that are just, they shouldn't have to be explained. Do I have to explain to you why a bearded man with triple D rubber breasts hanging out teaching an Oxford class is a sign of a collapsing society? If you look at this and don't immediately have a visceral negative reaction, I can't even finish the sentence. Dang it. Darn it. I can't even finish the sentence. You know what? Let's go ahead and go to, I got a really long video, but the interesting part's in the beginning. We only have 3 minutes left in this segment. I'm going to have to move on. We'll revisit it later if we have time, but it's a video that I've talked about a few times this week. It's a New Statesman video podcast where they are far leftist, radical feminist, and they're just now coming to the realization that young women have been radicalized and many of them have ruined their lives because of the propaganda that people like the New Statesman has been pumping out. And they're sitting there going, oh, it's the women that are radical, and women now hate men and girls hate boys and they never want to get married and they never want to have children. And it's these women sitting here going, well, but I'm married and have children and it's great. And that's not what we meant to tell everybody, but it's like, yeah, but that's what you told everybody. So I'll go to that video later, but it's just everything. It's just everything is like this. Absolutely everything they believe is wrong. Everything they believe is self-evidently wrong. Every policy they push has negative effects and nothing but negative effects. So, like, why do we have to explain this? Why is this even a question? What brain worm has worked its way into the mind of American and European people that has made us blind to what is just obvious and right in front of us? Half of our population is sick in the head, messed up, and a danger to the rest of us. Okay? So we'll move on. We'll get into the Iran war. We'll get into all of the hearings and stuff today. That's just my little presentation for you about the sheer, unrelenting, unending, bottomless madness of the left, where they don't even understand their own positions. If you can actually get them to enunciate them, they're worse than you even thought. Even if they can make them sound good, once they go into practice, they ruin everything. And the only response they ever have is to double down on their bad ideas. And for some godforsaken reason, half the country is utterly blind to all of this. Like David Cross. Poor, unfortunate David Cross. Folks, we'll be back on the other side and I'll show you some more insane videos from today. In the meantime, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Today and tomorrow will be your last day to buy official InfoWars merchandise. You can get a free InfoWars dog tag and America 250th anniversary coin with all orders over $100. We're also pre-selling the Silver Round and Faraday bag combo. And tomorrow, April 30th, will be your last chance to get InfoWars products. Right now, they're 20% off. Get them today before they sell out and before they become unavailable. And collector's edition historical items starting tomorrow. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. You may not know that the vitamin B12 that's in that formula, which is methylcobalamin, you may not know this, but that ingredient alone is crazy expensive. I think the last time I looked at the pricing of vitamin B12, it was something like $10,000 per kilogram. I mean, it's insanely expensive. And so the fact that you can get a bottle of this for, what is it, like $22 on thealexjonesstore.com, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they're able to get to these prices. They've also got TMG in there. They've got CoQ10 in there. They've got vitamin B6 and so on. Also another form of folate in the same formula. The Ultra Methylene Red. And it's sweetened by stevia. So stevia, which is great. It's a natural leaf, you know, sweet leaf sweetener. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Ultra Methylene Red.
If you are receiving this transmission,